Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Loving God with all our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves fulfills the law and pleases our Creator. Obeying this commandment means obeying all 10 of the ones God wrote on tablets of stone to give to Moses so long ago. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. As he concludes his series on the 10 Commandments, Pastor Lutzer takes a final look at the 11th Commandment, noting that not a one of us lives up to its true meaning.
Sometimes over very petty things, we have arguments with one another. Sometimes over matters that really aren't that important, we criticize one another. We speak against each other. We work at cross purposes, and we do not love with the same kind of sacrifice that Jesus is talking about here. You know that there are three different kinds of love. There is eros, erotic love that constantly is willing to take, but it does not give. There is phileo love, a human love, which gives, but it also takes. It does both. And then there's divine love that is able to give and 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 to give, even if there is very little or no return. That's the kind of love. This past week, I read a story about a person struggling with homosexuality. It was discovered by his wife. She went on loving him. She went on forgiving him. Discovered by people in the church who went on loving and forgiving and working with until over a period of time, God just transformed this person totally. But it took months, and it took failure after failure after failure. But every time he failed, there was a wife who forgave, and there was a church friends who forgave. And I read the story and I thought, how could anybody love like that? And then I thought of the text of Scripture here, that you love one another as I have loved you. That means sacrifice. That might mean late night telephone calls from people that irritate us and bother our schedules. That might mean reaching out to those that maybe are not our kind of people and inviting them over. It involves all of the dimensions of an incredible sacrificial love. And Jesus said, this is the new commandment. It's the 11th commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. A brand new standard. And we're all condemned because we've all fallen short. In the city of Portland, there was a church that decided to open its doors to people out on the street. Now, you know that whenever that happens, you've got problems in advance, because you know that there are all kinds of people who are a nuisance and a bother, humanly speaking. And they decided that they would take some of these people, many of whom perhaps had alcohol problems or other problems, and they began to do something with them. And inevitably, there was criticism. People saying, you know, there's stuff lying around, the church is messy, and these people, they come in, and they're just always in our way, and we've got to have extra staff to take care of them and all those other problems. And furthermore, they said, these people are ripping us off. They're stealing stuff. And one of the church leaders decided that he would prove that there were these people who were taking everything they could get a hold of, including bars of soap from the washroom that they would take and then later pawn for perhaps a few pennies so that they could get more to drink. But one day he decided to hide in a washroom, just to prove his point. And someone came in, and soon he was taking a bar of soap and slipping it into his pocket. The guy thought, see, I got him red-handed. And that church leader was just going to reach out and to put his hands on the shoulder of that man when the man who had stolen the bar of soap turned around, and suddenly that church leader was looking eyeball to eyeball into the face of a friend. That stopped both of them. And for a few moments, they just stood and stared at each other. And suddenly, that church leader was transformed. He was a different person, because now, instead of looking at this man as simply a person who ought to know better and who ought to get out, He now looked at him as a person who had a name. The man not only had a name, the man had a family, and this church leader knew that family, and the man had a history, and he was once a little baby in his mother's arms, and he was once a father who cared for his children. And suddenly, the church leader, instead of putting his arms on his shoulder to evict the man, put his arms around him to hug the man. You know, I think of that story because I can't help but think of how different our relationships would be as people if only we began to realize that behind every face, behind every person who's a bother and a nuisance, behind everybody who messes up our schedules is actually a person with a name, and more importantly, a person in whose eyes we should see Christ. And then we might hug them rather than get rid of them. You remember Jesus said one day that the time is coming during the period of tribulation where people are going to say, they're going to be judged, and the Lord is going to say, you know, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And they say, get this straight, Lord. When did we ever see you in prison? If you were in prison, we'd visit you any day. We'd even go to Cook County Jail if Jesus were in prison. You come to our door, you knock, it doesn't matter what hour of the day you come, Lord Jesus, we would have fed you. You know that. Show up unclothed, we'd take the shirt off our back and we'd give it to you. You know that, Lord. When did we see you in prison, and when did we see you hungry, and when did we see you unclothed? Jesus is going to say, whatever you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me. And whatever you haven't done to the least of these, my brethren, you haven't done to me. Your neglect of those in need is a neglect of me. Because when you stare into the eyes of someone that needs you, you are staring into the eyes of Christ. Jesus said, as I have loved you, you are to love me and to love one another. We come to the 11th commandment and we realize our helplessness in the presence of God. Why were the commandments written? Are they because God says, now what I want you to do is to gear up and see whether or not you can keep them? See whether or not you can at least get 4 out of 5? That's not bad. Baseball players do worse than that when they're up to bat. See whether or not you can't at least bat 300, 400, 500. Anybody who bats 500 is outstanding. Is that the reason why the Ten Commandments were given? My dear friend, the reason that God gave the Ten Commandments was to devastate us, was to realize our helplessness, our sinfulness, our total dependence upon Jesus Christ and their need for that, because there were Pharisees in the time of Christ who kept all the commandments. They did as well as they possibly could. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Did Jesus mean, boy, you'd better do better than they are. You'd better roll up your sleeves and go to it like a bull at a gate, because if not, you've had it. No. Jesus said all the righteousness that could be done by human beings, all piled together, all quantified, would somehow turn out to be less than what God needs before you enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you're damned, you're lost, you've had it. What Jesus is saying is that you need a righteousness that God accepts, namely the righteousness of Christ. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, because God knew we couldn't keep these commandments. Jesus died on the cross and he becomes the fulfillment of the law, the text says. That means he fulfills the law for all of us. He loves perfectly. He does everything perfectly, and he did everything perfectly, and he met God's requirements for us so that when we see our helplessness and our sin and we cast ourselves upon his grace and his mercy because of his death, we can then be saved and received and forgiven and welcomed into God's family despite the tremendous failure that all of you and I recognize in the presence of the law of God. That's why Christ came. It's because we couldn't keep the law. It still remains God's standard. It is still what he would desire to do in our lives by means of the Holy Spirit after we have received the free gift of salvation. But God's standard cannot be kept by us. And certainly a person who's never trusted Christ can't. And so the purpose of the law is to show us our helplessness. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to the Savior. If you're not a Christian, that's its first purpose. If you are a Christian, the second is to so give up the self-life that the Holy Spirit might enable us to at least begin to conform to what God requires. Thou shalt love one another, said Jesus, even as I have loved you.
Well, this is Pastor Luther. I want to speak to you out of my heart to your heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us were very sacrificial as we loved each other? As we would be willing to be involved in other people's needs and their lives? My own heart is touched by a testimony that we received recently. This person says, my heart was shattered. I had lost my mother, my brother to cancer, and my 25-year-old son who died in his sleep. It was all that I could do, that as I would drive home, I would cry the whole way. And then she says, all these family members knew Jesus, but Satan attacked, putting doubt and fear and worry in my head. Then one day I found your program on the radio during my commute. Literally, every fear and every doubt I was obsessing over, you preached on. God literally spoke to me every day through your ministry. It brought such amazing peace to my heart. The ride home became a learning time rather than a crying time. Thank you, my friends, for helping us as we continue this ministry, because testimonies like this are really the testimonies of our family, the family of Running to Win. Very quickly, I want to remind you that this is the time of our matching gift challenge. Every gift that you give will be doubled. Not only that, but the end of this month is the end of our fiscal year. Would you reach out and help us? Would you ask and pray and seek the Lord as to whether or not he would be calling you to become a part of this ministry? In a moment, you're going to be given some info as to how you can connect with us.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluding the 11th Commandment, the last message in our series on the 10 Commandments. We hope you've benefited from this long study with us. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.